Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior.
Our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, as we say every day, you can find us on the web at any time at voiceofvision.org. And if you want to find out about Riverside Christian Fellowship and our statement of faith and the ministries and missionaries we support and the things that we're doing out there, you can go on to voiceofvision.org. There's a button there that says Riverside Christian Fellowship. For the text archives, you hit daily blog, and like today's goats, dogs, pigs, and sheep. Goats, dogs, pigs, and sheep. Or the you can look at the blog and like James 4:17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. You can look under James on the labels there, on where it's, you know, there's a search engine there at voiceofvision.org. Or you can find again about Vision Radio from sermons and books and articles and all of that. And you can listen anytime, and we appreciate that. Now let's get on with our teaching: goats, dogs, pigs, and sheep. What a bunch of animals, huh? Well, I'm talking about people, not trying to demean them, but, you know, the Bible often talks in those sorts of terms, and that's what I'm going to do today. Again, James 4:17 says, "So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." You know, as a pastor, you get people wanting to know, you know, what's God's will for their life, and, you know, pray without ceasing, and everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God. You know, rejoice evermore. Those, you know, the framework, you give people the framework for doing God's will, but they want to know something specific. But then sometimes you give them, you know, some specific direction from the Word of God, and you get them to look at the Word of God and you know, to want to do it, and then they won't do it. And too often people want to know God's direction for their lives in certain areas, but they won't even look to do what He's already laid out in other areas. It's like they come to God and say, and I've been guilty of this, and I know that you have too. And sometimes we don't realize it right away, but we're coming to God and saying, okay, God, I've got this need in my left hand. And He's like, what's that behind your back in your right hand? You go, oh, God, don't worry about that. If you take care of this, then that'll be taken care of. And He has a different thing in mind. Ever been there? Ever helped anybody else? Tried to help them in that? I have this little saying, and I don't want to sound too cynical, but it goes like this. People want to be helped in the way they want to be helped. And then if you don't help them in the way they want to be helped, then they won't be helped, and then they'll blame you for not helping them. It seems people want God to enter into something so they can get out of something. Lord, help me do this, but I'm still going to, you know, it's help me get out of this pit, and now give me the shovel back. I mean, it happens all the time. Again, I've been guilty of this. There's no question about that. We're going to get to the goats, dogs, pigs, and sheep here in a moment, but a lot of times we only want to do the minimum it takes to get the results we want, or, you know, give me just enough Jesus to get me out of trouble so that I can get myself doing what I used to do in the last time that got myself in trouble anyway. I mean, this is just such a... I mean, I have so many posts and so many talks and so many teachings and sermons, and so do other ministers and even regular, you know, lay people or whatever in your lives and other people. Everybody knows this, you know. People want to do the minimum it takes to get the results they want. They submit only to the extent that it gives them pleasing possibilities. They don't want to go through the extra. Tell me what I need to do. It's like the parable, you know, the Good Samaritan there, actually. When Jesus was talking about it, the lawyer said, you know, who is my neighbor? Not so he could find out who to help, but so he knew who he didn't have to help. Tell me who my neighbor is. I'll go help him, and so I don't have to do all this other extra stuff. It's hard, I know, but, you know, again, we submit only to the extent that it gives us pleasing possibilities. It isn't a matter usually of attempting to be biblical, but struggling with it. What's God's direction in my life? Go left. But can I go semi-left? I tell you. Now, having said that, you know, again, I'm not trying to be cynical. Some are just not aware of what the biblical instruction or the injunction is. And we can't assume they do know what is right. when they've never been doing it at all. And pastors, be careful of that. You know, you assume that people know the Christianese and they know what you mean by taking it to the cross. You know what they mean by the blood or, you know, seeking God and all, and they may not. Even if they said they've been Christians and they came from another church or something like that, you don't know. You don't talk down to them. You just need to help them. Perhaps they just don't know this or that thing that we think is obvious. To them, it isn't. Therefore, we've got to make them aware of the relevant biblical truth and instruction before we simply confine them to criminal status. Kind of put the shoe on the other foot there, didn't I? But it's time. It's always time to bring the Scriptures to bear. And people will say, well, you know, God knows my heart. Yes, He does know your heart, but does He have your heart? Well, God knows my heart. I'm sincere, you know, that's all that matters. No, truth is what matters. Now, of course, truth without love is too hard, and love without truth is too soft. It's sincerity to the truth. Sincerity is no, it is no substitute for the truth, but sincerity towards the truth. We need both. And so, yes, God knows your heart, but He uses His Word to reveal to you the condition of it. Hebrews 4:12 said that the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, regarding sin in our lives, very often we cling to the worthless things that we think are going to deliver true satisfaction. This can be especially true with new believers who are getting used to living the new life. Again, you shouldn't look at people and say, you know, why aren't you on the other side of the pool yet? When you're on the other side of the pool, you should say, look, can I give you a hand? And jump in and try to pull them out. If they try to pull you down, well, that, you know, you don't want to both drown. But some people just need a hand, a helping hand. We need to be there for one another. Again, it's especially true with new believers who are getting used to living the new life. They don't know, you know, they should dress this way or do this and that. Some of that is not true in the first place, but a lot of that, they're just not understanding yet. Give them a little time. Give them a little patience. You know, define from the center, not from the edges. If they know Jesus and they've trusted Him and they've, you know, turned their life over to Him, that God is going to help them to understand what's wrong. You don't have to be the Holy Spirit to them, but you can bring the Word of God. And we all struggle to a certain extent, but some of the major problems ought to be cleaned up sooner. It's a mindset that needs to be met with Scripture. But too often we're afraid to talk about such obvious problems because we know we have problems too. People let other people off the hook, not because they want to be kind, but because they want to be let off the hook. And I understand, give mercy, receive mercy, be helping one another. Now, I'm not talking to new believers. I'm talking to people that are trying to correct new believers, and you're not increasing in the knowledge and obedience of God yourself. All this doesn't change the truth that Christians should be changing, letting go of lying and letting go of cussing and stealing and things that were normal to their old life. They may still struggle, and we can struggle with them. But to think it's okay to stay in that sort of lifestyle pattern is more than just sin. It's a rebellion that shows a lack of real repentance and calls into question someone's salvation. You know, we're not talking about someone that doesn't know it's wrong. We're talking about someone who knows it's wrong, who says it's wrong, and wants to change it, being different than someone who tries to justify doing a little bad. For example, people, you know, they say they're Christians and they supposedly need to skip out on the rent in order to have the deposit for the next place, and they think, you know, that's no problem. They compromise whenever it suits them. Oh, that guy's a maniac on the road doing 95, and you look down and you're doing 85. I mean, you got to remove the mote from your own eye, friend. A lot of times, you know, when you see, you know, a stick on everybody you're looking at, it's because you got a stick in your own eye. Sometimes God's trying to show you not to go to them and tell them, but to, hey, look how ugly this thing is. Guess what? You got it. And then you don't look down at them. You look up to God and you pray for them. This is between you and God. This is an important thing. And again, we try to justify doing a little bad. And we say, well, the other person, look, they got all this other stuff. Yeah, and they've only been a Christian for a year, and you've been a Christian for 10. Are you any different than you were before? Where has God brought you? What things have you... Again, not talking about morbid introspection, but there ought to be certain things that used to really intrigue you, and you really used to run to the evil of it. And then you get to the point where you're not interested as much. And now you, like, loathe the thing. Isn't there anything like that in your life? Again, Christians should be letting go of certain things. I'm not trying to justify doing a little bad, but of course, that's what new believers do. We understand that. They haven't learned yet. They're just like a little kid when you you catch them and they say, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was the little sister," but the crayon's in their hand and the writing's on the wall. Know what I mean? Now, again, it's true. Your personal convictions don't bind someone else's conscience. However, we do need to show people the clear teachings of Scripture when they obviously think stealing or lying or a little racism or things like that are justifiable whenever they deem it right to do so. You don't have to come down on somebody in the middle of a sermon or, you know, right in front of everybody. But, you know, change the subject or something like that, especially with something like racism. And it's just, they don't see it as overt. They don't see it as a problem. Oh, that's just the way they were brought up and all that. That doesn't make it right. And you know what's right to do. And if you fail to do it, it's a sin. That makes it tough, doesn't it? But we're supposed to help one another. There's no doubt. We're not supposed to be doctrine police. We're not supposed to be feelings police. And, you know, and like, oh, look, you. I thought that was racism. I'm a weaker brother and whatever else you want to go on to like that. But again, your personal peccadilloes, your personal convictions, don't bind someone else's conscience. Well, I don't like that piece of jewelry. Oh, that's the devil. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone trying to justify something that is obviously wrong. There are things people hold on to, like horoscopes, for another example. Things people need to be trained out of, and it might seem obvious to you, but it might not to them, especially if no one's ever confronted them with it. So you be gentle, but you correct with Scripture. Salvation is more than just a change of appetite. But it cannot be less than that. Again, let me say that. Salvation is more than just a change of appetite, but it can't be less than that. Well, now I'm finally going to get into goats, dogs, pigs, and sheep. God's sheep are led by the good shepherd. They're changing. They're wanting to change. And they're able to be led by the book. The Holy Spirit's masterpiece, and the Holy Spirit lives in them if they are truly God's sheep and they hear God's voice. And sometimes they have to learn not to harden their heart, but they learn the Scripture. That's how we renew our mind and we change our pattern of behavior by the Scriptures. And that's how you can kind of know who the sheep are. What about you? You see, goats simply go their own way and they only turn when they're coerced or forced. So if you're just doing that to people, you know, you're really driving them on, not leading them on. With the Bible, you know, you're just beating them over the head with a club. God's sheep are led by the good shepherd. Goats simply go their own way and turn when they are coerced or forced. Dogs, what do? They return to their own vomit. What about pigs? Pigs love the mire. And even if they're taken out and bathed, they hurry right back in. 2 Peter 2:22. You know, help me get out of this pit and I'll give me back the shovel. But when God changes from goats or dogs or pigs to sheep, so to speak, we're not as open to rebellion when led by the truth, and we begin to see these things as disgusting as they are. If we're still butting back against the truth, perhaps we still have horns. Goats, dogs, pigs, and sheep. Which are you? Which are you acting like in that part of your life that you don't want to tell anybody about? Whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it's sin. Turn to God in repentance and faith today. But God leads you around. That's all the time we have for the Voice of Vision broadcast. This is Pastor J.D. Hatfield. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
Oh, yes, I'm glad. No, my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.